This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us for a special pre-recorded program while VOA headquarters resolves some technical issues. I'm Yehiz Wahib in Washington. Coming up,
they accused me of communicating with military men and directing them how to move about and kill them. So when we reached their camp, we were beaten. When I went there and met these my friends, they were already there. We were badly beaten. We sleep on the floor. They don't give us any food or water.
That was a 17-year-old Cameroonian girl who says she was raped and abused by separatist rebels before being rescued by troops. Plus, Kenya has become the latest African country to record its first case of coronavirus. Those stories and more next on this special VOA Africa program. Our top story, Cameroon's military says Anglophone separatists have killed four hostages, including a local official, after troops attacked their camp in a western part of the country. The military says it freed five others who the rebels abducted and raped. Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports from Bafoussam, Cameroon.
A young woman recovering at a Cameroon military base in the French-speaking western town of Bafoussam confirmed to a reporter that rebel fighters this week abducted and raped her. Cameroon's military rescued the 17-year-old, whose name is being withheld to prevent stigma, and four other young women on Tuesday and brought them to the base. She says heavily armed Anglophone rebels took her on Sunday from a Catholic church in the English-speaking northwestern town of Mbiame. The separatist fighters took her into the bush, she says, and kept her and several other hostages at a remote camp.
They accused me of communicating with military men and directing them how to move about and kill them. So when we reached their camp, we were beaten. When I went there and met these my friends, they were already there. We were badly beaten. We sleep on the floor. They don't give us any food or water.
The 17-year-old says the rebels demanded the women's families pay a ransom of $3,000 each for their release, or else they would be killed. But Cameroonian troops raided the camp, freeing the five hungry, tired, and frayed women aged 17 to 21. Paul Atanganji is Cameroon's territorial administration minister. He says the rebels took the women in revenge after troops last week attacked their hideouts and killed several fighters.
These are children who have been kidnapped by the terrorists, abused sexually, raped by the terrorists. And thanks to the professionalism of our defense forces, these children were released. The children are under medical control. The defense forces are assisting them.
She says the women were rescued during fighting that killed seven rebels. He gave no casualty figures for the military, and it was not possible to confirm the numbers. Not all those being held hostage came out alive, though. Officials in the English-speaking northwest region of Gokutunja say rebels killed four hostages. Senior government official Ketong Henderson Kongi issued a statement saying among the four was the deputy mayor. The statement called on the population to continue helping the military find rebels and their hideouts. Rebels in Cameroon have not responded directly to the accusations, but have been sharing videos on social media of the killed civilians and warning people against aiding the military. The separatist conflict broke out in 2017 over resentment that Cameroon's English-speaking minority is treated as second class to the French-speaking majority. Fighting in the Western English-speaking regions has left about 3,000 people dead and displaced more than 500,000 to French-speaking regions and neighboring Nigeria. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Bafoussam, Cameroon.
K Kenya has become the latest African country to record its first case of coronavirus. Kenya's Ministry of Health confirmed today that a Kenyan citizen who returned from the United States via London March 5th tested positive for COVID-19 but is in stable condition. Rael Ambor reports from Nairobi.
Kenya on Friday confirmed its first coronavirus case, a 27-year-old Kenyan national who was studying abroad. In a press briefing on national television, Health Cabinet Secretary Mutahi Kagwe said the patient is a woman who returned from the United States via London last week.
The government has traced all the contacts of the patient since her arrival in Kenya. Kenyans are reminded that most people who become infected may experience only mild illness and recover easily. But the disease can be more severe in others, especially the elderly persons and others with chronic illnesses.
Kagwe said the patient was in a stable condition and that her temperature had returned to normal. The minister said Kenya was taking further measures to prevent the virus from spreading further, including prohibiting travel to high-risk countries that have numerous cases of the virus, known as COVID-19.
We have suspended all public gatherings, meetings, religious crusades, games, and all events that are of a huge public nature. No more church services can go on, provided that they provide sanitizing and hand washing as people go into the worshiping areas. We have suspended all inter-school events, in other words, school-to-school athletics, school-to-school events, but the schools at this moment remain open.
Kenya is the 11th sub-Saharan African country to confirm the coronavirus since the December outbreak in Wuhan, China. The coronavirus has since become a pandemic, infecting more than 128,000 people globally. Close to 5,000 of those infected have died. Rai Lombor for VOA News, Nairobi.
As Zimbabwe's economic challenges mount, workers are headed for a showdown with the government as unions step up efforts to mobilize support for strike action. Adigando gives us more on the story.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, ZCTU, has been on a countrywide tour to mobilize for a national shutdown to pressure President Emmerson Mnangagwa to address the deteriorating economic situation. Leadership of the ZCTU has visited most major towns to gather feedback from their members. Observers say the unions face a hurdle as government is increasingly jittery over possible unrest from disgruntled citizens. VOA caught up with the president of the ZCTU, Peter Mtasa, who says the 120,000 strong membership from various affiliates overwhelmingly supports strike action.
Workers concluded that what we have is a failed predator state, a state that is failing to provide basic amenities, public services for the citizens, that is working for the interests of few cartels and the few ruling elites and their families. So what workers mandated the ZCTU is that the ZCTU should organize non-violent protests around the country, and this must be sustained until the government makes the economy work for all of us, until the government disbands the cartels that are looting national state resources, until the government pronounces that the country is now moving to the utilization of the South African rand, which is a stable currency, and salaries are paid in the stable South African rand.
Most Zimbabweans are living below the poverty datum line. Government critics say economic mismanagement lies at the heart of the country's challenges. Last year, the government said austerity measures were necessary to turn the economy around. But critics say the populace is justified on their strike calls because they have borne the brunt of government policy inconsistencies and austerity measures, while the ruling party elites have continued to enjoy lives of opulence. Mutasa believes the majority of ordinary people share the same disappointment.
It is a matter that resonates with all workers. both in the informal and formal sector, public and private sector. Even those workers who are free riders, who do not belong to the unions, they are also solidly behind, and they've been attending our labor forums. So we are going to mobilize all workers, including those who do not belong to trade unions, including those who depend on workers' incomes, like students. They are equally affected.
The question is how the government would react to pressure. In the past, it has clamped down brutally on public demonstrations. The state has been using the recently enacted Maintenance of Peace and Order, MOPA Act, to suppress public shows of dissent, which critics say abrogates the constitutionally guaranteed right to demonstrate. Mutasa says the unions are undeterred.
Trade unions who are carrying out bona fide trade union work are exempted. But we know that the police is not professional. So we have devised ways of ensuring that we have successful, peaceful protests around the country, even if the police tries to curtail our freedoms. And these are constitutional freedoms, and the police should not ordinarily do that. But we have planned.
Observer says something has to give, citing the proposed 2.5% deduction from salaries which are being channeled toward the upkeep of the security services as further provocation. There have been reports that some civil servants are being forced to sign consent forms for the deductions. They say it's a case of robbing Peter to pay Paul. Reporting for VOA, this is Adigondo.
You're listening to a special recorded program on VOA Africa. I'm Yehius Wuhib in Washington. Here's a recap of our top stories for today's special pre-recorded program. VOA is experiencing some technical difficulties, so we are offering this program recorded earlier. We aim to return to our normal programming within a few days, and in the meantime, thanks for listening to VOA Africa. And for more news and information, visit our website at voanews.com. In a country where homosexuality is criminalized, Alice Nome was the first lawyer in Cameroon to defend suspected gay people. For this, she says she has faced attacks and death threats. Nome, who is also the country's first female lawyer, still says she is determined to continue to defend minorities. Mokedwin Kinzeka narrates this report by Anne Nuzanakwi in Douala, Cameroon.
Yannick, a house painter, says he has been arrested 3 times on suspicion of homosexuality. The young man says during his first arrest, he had trouble finding a lawyer who would agree to defend him. Yannick says after being arrested, he did everything to be in contact with a lawyer. Unfortunately, this lawyer, a fervent believer, as he said, refused. The lawyer argues that it's an abomination for Yannick to be who he is, and he cannot stand up for such a cause. Yannick adds he had to fall back on associations. According to Human Rights Watch, Cameroon brings more cases against suspected homosexuals than any other African country. When arrested, gay people mostly rely on activists and LGBT-friendly lawyers like Alice Nkom. She was the first female lawyer of Cameroon and the first to defend gay people. She says she did it because gay people are beaten in the street, arrested, and sometimes even locked up only on the basis of suspicion. This commitment had consequences.
Ce que m'a coûté d'être défenseur des droits des homosexuels, c'est le rejet, c'est les agressions.
Alice Nkom says what it cost her to be a gay rights defender was the rejection, the assault. The lawyer adds she is not recognized as someone who defends human rights because for them, the rights of homosexuals are not human rights. Nkom is campaigning to remove a section in the Cameroon Penal Code that criminalizes sexual contact between members of the same sex. So far, the law stands, but Nkom has succeeded in winning reduced prison time for about 30 defendants. Her activism has also enabled 10 or so pro-LGBT activist groups to emerge in Cameroon, like All Condoms, a NGO that fights against HIV and do the promotion of human rights among key populations.
The work that Metro Alice Com, that we commonly call affectionately Mom, has done so far has permitted us today to at least come out openly and to at least know that we have a say to say in the society and that we also have a right like every human being. And that has gone so far as even in health, because at first we could not, like, there were no project that actually took into consideration people from the LGBT community.
Nkom has also taken a stand against the separatist war in Western Cameroon. On International Women's Day, she and other women dressed in black and marched in memory of the women killed during the three-year war. For Anne Zwanke in Douala, Cameroon, Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News.
Kenyan wildlife officials say poachers have killed two extremely rare white giraffes, dealing a blow to conservation, tourism, and genetic research. The skeletal carcasses of an adult female and her female calf, who were first spotted in 2017, were found in Ishkabin Hirola Community Conservancy in eastern Kenya's Garissa County. Officials said they likely were killed at least 4 months ago, living behind a male calf from the same mother. The Kenya Wildlife Service is investigating the incident. The white skin tone of the giraffes is a result of leucism, a condition that causes the skin cells to have no pigmentation. Kenya's Amboseli National Park is home to herds of elephants that have been the target of poachers trafficking in the illicit trade in ivory. Now, a program that has brought on board women in the fight against poaching is gaining traction. Lenny Ruvaga reports from Kajiado.
It is the start of another day at the Olgalului Olalarashi Group Ranch, and 23-year-old park ranger Purity Amleset, the leader of this all-female ranger unit, sets out the day's plan with her team, ensuring that each member has her orders correct. Today's task, locating an elephant and her newborn calf. Dubbed Team Lioness, the ranger unit is comprised of 8 women whose core duties involve protecting wildlife within the 1,230 square kilometer stretch of parkland that surrounds Amboseli National Park. They are chosen for their proven academic achievements, physical stamina, integrity, and discipline. Amleset says joining an all-female ranger unit has been beneficial to the traditionally patriarchal Maasai community. She says her community held the view that women and girls were the weaker sex and that girls could only do menial jobs and housework, which included only raising a family. However, over the course of time, the female rangers have been showing and telling them the importance of being a ranger just like the menfolk. The Olgalului Olalarashi Group Ranch's proximity to the Amboseli Park makes it a likely gateway for poachers who may seek entry into the national park to hunt illegally.
Anyone from the team who has a question before we leave for our patrol?
Patrick Papatiti, the commander of the Olgalului Community Wildlife Rangers, has about 76 rangers under his charge. He says integrating women has not been easy.
We have the same mentality, even within the ranger unit, where men were ranger unit, the same mentality that they, ladies, cannot do it. But surprisingly, we have the best young women who can run, who can walk faster than these guys, who can go long distances than these guys. So from that working together, helped us to clear the norm that these are the same ladies, the same girls that you see in the village.
Despite the challenges, in the end, James Esiche, the regional director for East Africa from the International Fund for Animal Welfare, says starting an all-female ranger unit was a risk worth taking.
Our communities in Kenya are male-dominated, but this particular one is extremely male-dominated. So getting young ladies to engage in what is seen as a man's job is a huge success. And what we are seeing is that it's encouraging other girls to step up. They say that, when I finish school, I also want to join the female lionesses.
Lenny Rovaga for VOA News, Kajiado, Kenya.
And that wraps up this special VOA Africa program. I'm Yehis Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. And thank you again for tuning in to this recorded program while VOA resolves its technical issues. Thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour. Whoa. Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews. Ooh. Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Ah. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.